Gar.
The same? Mooney questioned. I told you when I first began the story that you both were alike. That's kind of scary, though, she pouted. What about the Fold? The Bones character sounds scary. Mooney laughed. He is. She paused. And what do you mean by saying you have a hard life? Cutie looked into her soda can. I don't want to talk about that kind of stuff right now. She seemed saddened. Maybe later. Okay, but I want you to know you can talk to me about anything, Cutie. Mooney said honestly. About anything? You name it. Well, can you start by telling me the rest of the story? She laughed. That was good. She chuckled. Anyway, wanting Eleanor and catching her had proven to be two different things. Chapter 33, Farrah. The last thing we need is for the cops to be circling around here. It seemed as if Farrah had been chasing Eleanor forever. When Farrah originally spotted Eleanor, she chased her down the street. But before Farrah could catch her, Eleanor dipped into an apartment building. There was no way Farrah could lose her now. So she stayed on Eleanor's trail. Farrah ran up and down the hallways of the property, trying to find Eleanor. To her dismay, she realized she'd lost Eleanor. She felt like kicking herself in the head. In the end, all she could ask herself was, how does she keep getting away? She was about to search another floor when Slade found her on the fourth. Where the fuck she go, baby? He asked, walking up behind her. You didn't let her get away, did you? Farrah had an idea of which floor she hid on, but she had no intention of telling him. I'm sorry, baby. I tried to stay on her trail, but she was too fast. You saw how quickly she was running. She punched at the air. I feel like I let you down again. Don't worry about it, babes. I'm gonna knock on every door in this motherfucking building until I get her. That's on my mother. He looked around where he stood, trying to determine which door to knock on first. She saw the determination in his eyes and had to put a stop to it. No, Slade. You can't do it this way. Why? He frowned, looking down at her. If we let her get away, we'll never be able to find her again. Because when we started chasing her, she stuttered. Somebody said they were going to call the police. For all we know, they may be on their way here right now. I don't give a fuck about no police, babes. I dream about this bitch every night, Slade yelled. And she gonna tell me why she had my brother's phone or I'ma light this building on fire. I know this bitch no more than she told us. Why else would she be hiding? You right. She's hiding because she knows something, Farrah encouraged him. I've been telling you that from the jump, and I'm glad you're able to see it for yourself now. But we have to be smart, baby. The last thing we need is for the cops to be circling around here. You don't want to get locked up for threatening no white woman. She pulled him closer. Then you really won't be able to find Knox's body. He pushed her back. What you mean, find Knox's body? The hair on the back of her neck rose. I didn't mean it like that. I meant find Knox. I'm sorry, baby. He was still skeptical about her response, but said, my brother is alive somewhere, and I'm going to find him. Don't you ever say body and my brother's name in the same sentence again. Understand? Yes, baby, I do. I know you want her, but you ain't going to be able to get her if the cops catch you. There were two things that she said that scared him to death. Since he was from the South, and they were getting locked up for threatening a white woman and not being able to help his family, Slade paced the floor angrily because he knew she was telling the truth. You right. Let's get the fuck out of here. I got a plan. They rushed to the truck, but once they were inside, he didn't pull off. Instead, he got on the phone and called his brothers. Major, the family with you? Slade sounded anxious. Yeah, we all here. Everything cool. You sound out of it. Nah, I need y'all to come down here to Mama's kitchen. This bitch Eleanor just went into this building, and I don't want to take my eyes off of it until she walks out. Bring Judge and Grant, too. We need as many people as possible on this shit. I don't care if we have to stay out here all night. I want niggas in the front and in the back. You got me? Say no more. We on our way. When he ended the call, Farah was sweating so hard she was about to pass out. This was the one thing she was trying to avoid. She had to think quickly on her feet, or else a bag of shit was about to blow up in her face. Think. What can you do to save yourself? She was hard-pressed for an excuse to get the fuck out of Dodge, until she broke out in hives all over her arms and face. Back in the day, it was the worst thing that could happen. Now, it was a blessing in disguise. Slade, she exhaled, baby, I gotta go home. Not now, Farah, he said, eyes still glued on the building. I'm waiting on my brothers to get here first. We finally about to get some answers around here. I know, but I'm not feeling too good. I gotta go now, she said in a low voice as she watched him continuously looking at the building. I told you, I can't. He stopped short of yelling at her when he looked at her face. She was covered in red splotches and looked like an entirely different person. He'd never seen anything like it in all of his life. Oh, shit. Are you okay? He grabbed her arms. Damn, baby, what the fuck is going on? I'm having an allergic reaction. I'm not feeling too well. But we didn't eat anything yet. His eyes continued to roll over her body. I know, it's probably something in that building. She shrugged. I don't know. I just gotta get out of here. You want me to take you to the hospital or something? He asked, concern heavy in his voice. No, I got some stuff at my house, though, but we gotta leave so I can get it, or else it's gonna get worse. I know you wanna wait on Eleanor, but I'm in so much pain, baby. If I don't get what I need, my throat might close up. He looked over at the building, and his right leg moved rapidly. This was the last thing he needed to happen, but he also didn't want the love of his life to be in pain. What if her heart kicked into overdrive or something? And she died. He pulled out of the parking space and drove into traffic. Agitated, he took his phone out of his pocket and called his brothers again. Major, something came up, man. I gotta go. Major sounded frustrated. What you mean you gotta go? We almost there. Give us a few minutes. I can't. Just know that an emergency came up or else I wouldn't leave. The building is right next to the restaurant. She's a white, older woman, and she's wearing blue jeans and a white t-shirt. Question every white person who fits the description. Matter of fact, question everybody. Whatever you do, don't let her get past you. I don't give a fuck what you have to do. Are you sure she went into the building? I'm positive, Slade told him. You hear the pump in my voice? This shit is the real deal. Something tells me we're finally about to find out what happened to Knox. Okay, we're on it. I'll get up with you later with an update. When Slade was done, he hung up and continued on the way to the house. 2 minutes later, his phone rang again, and he answered, Hello? Slade? You gonna pay for leaving me at that restaurant, I promise! Shannon screamed into the phone. Suck my dick, you whore-ass bitch! He yelled, ending the call. Farah looked over at him. Who was that? Shannon? He rubbed her leg. Don't worry about all that. I need your mind at ease. He snatched his hand away and moved angrily down the road. Farah could tell he was annoyed, so she kept quiet so he could concentrate on driving. The last thing she needed was to irritate him even more, especially since it was because of her he had to leave. When they made it to Platinum Lofts and then her apartment, she just knew he would go back to the building. Instead, he followed her inside the apartment. Are you going back? She asked. I figure you want to as soon as possible. She wanted him gone so she could pack her shit and get the fuck out of Dodge. You playing, right? My girl in here fucked up and you want me to leave? Nah, baby. I'm gonna make sure you okay first. She threw her keys on the table next to the door. What you got for your condition? And why didn't you tell me you had allergies like that? You gotta be careful out here. I don't always know when it's gonna kick in. My stuff is in the bathroom, though. She walked down the hall, but he was right on her heels. Needing space, she said, Baby, can you bring me something to drink? A bottle of water from the fridge? She tried to make a joke. Try not to break that one. It's new. He laughed. At least you got a sense of humor right now. Seriously, I need water to take my medicine, Farah said. No problem. I got you, babes. When he walked into the kitchen, she dipped into the bathroom and locked the door. She slammed the medicine cabinet a few times to make noise and sat on the toilet to clear her head. What can I say to get rid of this nigga? A minute later, Slade was wiggling the doorknob. You okay in there, baby? She loved him to pieces, but at the moment wanted nothing more than for him to go away. I'm fine, Slade. I had to use a bathroom, too. Can you just hold the water for me until I come out? You sure you okay? Slade inquired. Because you got my head fucked up out here. I really am fine. Just give me a few moments. Okay. I'll be in the living room in case you need me. And if the medicine doesn't work, I don't care what you say, I'm taking you to the hospital. Fuck. Having spent most of her childhood in the hospitals, the last thing she wanted was to go to one. Okay, baby. I'll see you when I get out. Farrah had to come up with a plan. She had no doubt in her mind that his brothers would be grabbing that old woman and hauling her there in a second. When that happened, what was she going to do? What was she going to say? After faking long enough in the bathroom, she walked out and into the living room with a sad look on her face. She stood in front of him while he observed her beauty. Even now you're beautiful. He reached his hand out to her, and she sat next to him on the sofa. Drink up. He handed her the bottle of water, and she curled up into a ball and lay on his chest. I didn't fuck up the fridge, he nodded toward it, but I did break a glass getting you some ice. She laughed. Leave it to your cock-strong-ass hands to break some shit. Where's your medicine? I took it already. She felt the cool bottle in her hand. I used the faucet water. She placed it on the table. Well, how do you feel now? I'll be better in a little while. She lied so much, she couldn't stand herself anymore. I don't want you to worry, Slade. I go through this all the time. Baby, I'ma always worry about you. Even when we weren't together, I worried. He rubbed her face. What you take? It's something the doctor prescribed. I can't even remember the name of it. Farrah swallowed. You should always know what you take. Go get me the bottle. I want to see what they're giving you. I know this is you. Knox trying to ruin my relationship from the dead. Ugh. Slade, I just want to lay up under you. Can you give me that? You right, baby. He rubbed her back. What did you want to tell me the other night when your crazy ass jumped out my ride on the side of the road? Originally, she wanted to tell him about her lifestyle. But what if he didn't understand? What if he left her, and this time for good? I do things sometimes to make me feel better. When she stopped, he said, things like what? Drugs? Weed? He chuckled. We all do a little something different when times are hard. As long as you're not fucking with dope or crack, I'm good with it. It's nothing like that. She shook her head. It's like, you can tell me anything, Farrah. So don't hold back with me anymore. I want us to be stronger. And we do that by staying honest. He was in his head about their relationship when for some reason he thought about what Shannon told him a while back. He never asked her about it before because it was too far-fetched to be true. I heard something a while back that I never said to you because it didn't make any sense. She sat up straight and looked at him. What was it? Somebody told me you drank, that you were drinking blood. Farrah's heart dropped. Out of all of the things in the world, she didn't imagine he would ask her that. She considered telling him the truth, since he'd heard the rumor a while back and never stopped loving her. She was about to confirm the story until she considered the way he looked at her at the moment. His expression was filled with slight disgust, and she knew telling him about her lifestyle would be death of the relationship. Slade! Don't ask me anything so crazy like that again, she spat. He laughed and appeared relieved. I knew it was dumb, but I want to check with you anyway. So what did you want to tell me? Can we do it later? She paused, rubbing his leg. For some reason, my head is starting to hurt even more. No problem, babes. After a few more minutes passed, she said, so you talked to your brothers yet? Were they able to catch Eleanor? He took his phone out of his pocket, I'm waiting on them to call right now. I don't want you to be worried about all that, though. You're right. It's the only thing I can think about. His phone rang. Speak of the devil. He answered it. What's up, man? You got her? Is Farrah with you? Killer questioned. He looked down at her and rubbed her hair softly. Yeah, why? Keep her there, man. We on our way now. He looked at the phone strangely and put it back in his pocket. Suddenly, there was a shift in his body mechanics. He wasn't as loving as he was earlier, and Farrah felt it. Who was that? My brother Killer. He didn't tell her what he said, but he didn't need to. She was a wizard at knowing when something was wrong. You sure you okay? Farrah asked him. You seem different now that you're off the phone. I'm fine, Slade smiled. I told you to stop worrying. Slade pulled her closer. You're not going anywhere right now, are you? She shook her head. No. Why you ask? I don't even feel like leaving the house. Good. I'll be glad when all this shit is behind us. You and me both, Slade. When Killa arrived, he was flanked by Major and Judge and Grant, and they all looked ready for business. Although the four of them made it obvious they didn't fuck with her, it was the scraggly-looking man with the nappy hair who held her attention. It was the same man who robbed her at the dope house. What's up? She looked at the stranger. Who the fuck is this? And where's the bitch? Killer walked past Slade and up to Farrah's spotty face. His jaw clenched, and for a second, she felt like he was about to lay hands on her in a bad way. When are you going to start being real with us, Farrah? We know you had something to do with Knox going missing. Just shoot us straight. If you love my brother like you say you do, you'll speak the truth. She stepped back. I don't know what you're talking about. She looked at Slade. I don't even know this man, baby. She didn't want to tell him that they met each other before. Killa looked at the unwanted visitor. Come here, man. Tell me what you told us at the building. The man who robbed her cautiously stepped closer to Farrah. Eleanor was at my apartment earlier. His voice was low and fragile. It was as if he was afraid of her, and she guessed it was because he robbed her. She's been living with me for the past few months. Anyway, she told me when she saw you earlier that she was in fear for her life. She said you're trying to blame her for something she didn't do. Are you sure it's not the fact that she tried to kill me? Farrah responded. She did that because you were after her. So she called her nephews from Chicago. They were black, Farrah responded. We all got a little black and white in us, don't we? He laughed. If you must know, they were in-laws from a past marriage. Anyway, when you killed him, she's been bad ever since. What you talking about, babe? Slade asked, pulling her to him. Who the fuck shot at you, Farrah? Eleanor and apparently her nephew. I didn't tell you because we weren't together and I didn't think you'd care. I always care about what happens to you, even if we're not together. He paced the floor. I swear to God, I wish I could kill this nigga again. Who killed her nephew? She was silent. Who was it, Farrah? Bones, the person you saw me with in the hallway the other day. He was a new level of demented now. He knew the moment he looked into his eyes, he was a killer. And now he had proof. Fuck that nigga, Slade said. His jaw jumped. I'm just glad you okay. He gritted his teeth and tried to calm down. Although he loved her, the fact that she was keeping things from him ruined all trust. Farrah faced the stranger again. Is that all she said? You should have asked her why she keeps running when all we want to do is talk to her. She's the one who fired first that night. That's not what she's saying, the unwanted visitor added. Farrah wanted to snatch his dry lips off. She says you probably have something to do with Knox missing, and that's why you're trying to kill her. If that's how she feels, then why isn't she here to defend herself? Farrah continued. Why hide? Eleanor gave him a message before he came out to meet us, Grant responded. She's willing to talk to us when it's safe. Yeah, she told him that she'll call when she's ready to meet with us, Killa said. Okay, then we can put this shit to rest, Farrah responded. For your sake, Farrah, everything that you're saying better be true. Because if you had something to do with my brother going missing, not even Slade will be able to hold me back. Chapter 34. Farrah. I'm going through some serious shit over here. Farrah sat on her bed with balls of used Kleenex all around her. Once again, she was crying to her sister and brother and trying to figure out how to get herself out of the situation. I don't know what to do, y'all. She sobbed, wiping her nose. In a few weeks, this bitch is gonna meet up with Slade and they gonna find out I was involved with Knox's death. Involved? Shadow said, sitting on the edge of the bed. You killed a nigga. Shadow, don't be ignorant. Mia responded, hitting her brother on the arm. You see, she's fucked up. She knows I'm playing with her, he said, nudging Farrah's leg. Well, I don't feel like playing right now, Shadow. Farrah yelled. I'm going through some serious shit over here. I need this bitch, Eleanor, like yesterday. I know it's serious, but my thing is this. Even if they catch her, it will be your word against the dopehead. If you ask me, Slade and them should give you credit for that alone. Try not to work yourself all up when it might be for nothing. Well, what if it's not for nothing? She looked at both of them. What can I do to get out of it then? Shadow stood up and walked toward the window. I can murder Slade, if that's what you want. He looked at Farrah and then Mia. If you ask me, that will probably solve all of our problems, too. Farrah wiped her nose with Kleenex, stood up, and slapped him in the face. I don't want you to ever hear you say that shit again! She pointed at him. Ever! He stomped toward the window. Then what's your plan? He asked with an attitude. Because if you ask me, you shouldn't have had his phone anyway. You would have been free and clear of all this shit had you not taken his shit. Is this really necessary? Mia asked. I mean, what is it helping to say what she should have done? Answer the question, Farrah. Farrah sat back down and sighed. Before I killed Knox, he said something was in his phone that could save Slade. He looked over at him. It turns out he was right. Had I not taken the phone, he would have been dealing with some shit with a sheriff back in Mississippi. With the phone, they were able to prove their innocence. Yeah, but did you ever stop to think how you were going to give him the phone? Did it ever occur to you that there was no earthly reason for you to have it before the fact that you killed him? He asked with a combative tone in his voice. Shadow! We both know Farrah do dumb shit from time to time, but it ain't no reason to keep beating her about it. Let's just put our heads together and come up with a plan that will work this time. She looked at Farrah. So did the dope head give Slade and them an exact time when they meet? No, but I think it will be in a couple of weeks. The dope head said she gets her Social Security check then, and that's when she normally comes around. It's been sent to his house. So, we'll be watching for her to come back. Put some people on it. Even if we do intercept the meeting, what about the person who keeps dropping pictures off on me? At first, I thought it was Rhonda, but more came after that. How you know it isn't Eleanor? Shadow asked, walking over to the bed. I don't know. But what if it isn't? If she had all the things on me the pictures show, why not go to the cops? I don't know, Farrah. Mia responded, rubbing her hand over her face. She is a dopehead. The more you tell me, the more I'm thinking it is her. I mean, could it be anybody else? Her mind roamed to the fold, but she shook the thought out of her mind. I can't think of anybody else, she sighed. And that ain't all. Nadia Gibson's broke ass is making it her mission to pin every murder in this building on me, including the person Slade killed with his bare hands in the hallway. Is there anybody else who could have sent the picture? Mia asked. Yes, I'm still worried about Randy. She sighed. It's settled. We're going to come up with a plan that will take care of everything, Mia said in an exhausted tone. And everybody? Shadow added. Y'all telling me something I already know, My question is, how? Mia walked away and paced the floor. When she couldn't concentrate, she walked into the living room to be alone. An hour later, she returned to Farrah's room with a smile on her face. Waving her finger, Mia said, I got a plan, so sweet. By the time it's all said and done, the only person they won't be looking at for these murders is you. And if we do this right, the mysterious picture person will disappear too. She paused. But you'll have to stay out of trouble, Farrah. No more drinking blood and no more hanging around them freaks in the all black and red. But why? She paused. I have to drink blood. If I don't, I'll look like Mama did before she died. Don't you see? It's not because I want to. It's because I have to. Farrah, that blood shit doesn't work. Shadow roared. To be honest, it was cool at first because I just came home from jail, but now it's weird. I don't know. You either do shit my way or you do it on your own, Mia snapped and looked at Farrah. It took Farrah 5 minutes to say, okay, I won't drink blood, even though she knew, like everything else, it was a lie. Good. Because if you follow my plan to a T, just like I outline, you'll be indebted to me for the rest of your life. Farrah was hopeful, seeing how excited Mia was. Well, what's your plan? First, you have to reconnect with your biological father. Mia started pacing the floor. Farrah was confused. She never told anybody that she knew Asher was not her biological father. Wait, I never told you about him. Farrah responded with wide eyes. How did you know? We been knew, Shadow added. Nobody gives a fuck, though. You still our sister. Does Daddy know, too? Farrah inquired, looking at her siblings. We never told him, Mia sighed. And if it's all the same to you, we want to keep this secret to ourselves. Asher would be devastated. Farrah agreed. So why reconnect with my real father? Because he's rich, and you're going to need a lot of money for an attorney and an investigator. Don't worry. I'm confident that he'll help you. Farrah was doubtful, but continued to listen. Then when we need to go to Jean's apartment, Mia continued, because I don't care what he's telling police. He has a surveillance tape from the night he went missing. And if my theory is correct, it's in his apartment. You're going to have to seduce this nigga and go get it. Mia, I don't know about the shit. It seems like too much. Farrah, desperate times calls for desperate measures. And unfortunately, you don't have a choice. Getting with this dude is not an option. Mia paused. The last part of my plan is Randy, she continued. It won't do us any good to get you out of this drama if Randy is still in the picture. You'll have to visit him. But he moved, Farrah responded. And if I see him, he'll probably want to kill me. That nigga is in love with you, Mia reminded her. And from what I'm told, he's broke. He would love to see you. Now, are you sure you don't know where he is? Farrah remembered the last call she had with him that was interrupted. The person in the background said, Welcome to Serenity Meadows. She wondered if there was a lead there. You know what? Let me put something together. I might be able to find him. Good, because he's important, Mia said, sitting on the edge of the bed. Now the last part of the plan means you'll have to go to the precinct, Mia told her, knowing she wouldn't like it, to turn yourself in. What? Why? Farrah yelled. If I do that, I'll have to go to prison. She was so worked up, she was panting. Just trust me, Farrah. Mia touched her leg. I got you, and everything will be okay. Farrah sighed. Trust me, Farrah. I got you. Now, are you down or not? Mia asked. Farrah thought about her options. She realized she didn't have any. I don't have a choice. Chapter 35, Farrah. All my life, I've been an outcast. Farah rehearsed over and over in her mind what Mia told her as she steered her car down the highway. She was meeting a man she hadn't spoken to in years. It took a lot of work to locate him, considering he was a congressman for D.C. But in the end, it paid off. Farah had wanted to talk to him personally for a long time, but her loyalty to Asher prevented her from making the move. With her current situation, everything had changed. When she pulled up in front of his beautiful brick home in the suburbs of Maryland, she wondered what kind of life he had. Was he married? Single? Did he have brothers and sisters? Her mind moved nonstop, considering the possibilities. When she calmed herself down, she took a few quick deep breaths and walked up the stairs leading to his door. She didn't have to knock, because the man she knew as Coach Jaffrey was standing in front of her, waiting. Jaffrey was an extremely attractive white man with coal black hair and brown eyes. He looked upon her with admiration, at the same time, a bit of sadness. For a second, standing in the doorway, he observed her, and when his lips finally parted, she was afraid he would shoo her away. Instead, he said, "Farah, I didn't know about you. I mean, when I heard Brownie was pregnant again, I knew we shared moments together, but she promised me that you were not mine. I didn't press the issue because she was married, and I didn't want to destroy her relationship." She swallowed. How could he not want to destroy her marriage and still fuck a married woman? "Didn't you think I look like you? I never once considered the fact that you could be my daughter. Not once. Now that I look at you, I wonder why I never realized it all along." His smile was weak, but she could feel the kindness behind his eyes. "I'm so sorry that you lived your whole life without me in it. You gotta believe me when I say, had I known, I would have been there." Farah felt warm inside. There was something validating about being wanted. Yes, she knew Asher loved her, and her heart told her that her siblings adored her too. But he was her biological father, and it made his acceptance different. She cleared her throat. "I believe you would have been there for me had you known." She looked into his home. "Can I come inside?" "Oh, I'm so sorry," he laughed. "I was so caught up I lost my manners." He opened the door and allowed her into his beautiful home. The theme was white and mahogany, and the furnishings were breathtaking. To be honest, it reminded her of her own apartment, and she smiled, considering they possibly have the same tastes. The closer she looked, she was sure that there was a woman in his life. "I hope I didn't come at a bad time," Farah said. "When I called, you said it was okay to come over. I should have told you that it would be now." "It's definitely not a bad time." He shook his head. "I am happy you came. Since you called, it was all I could think about." He looked her over, and she wondered what he thought about her. "So tell me about your life. How are things going? Are you safe? Happy?" There was no way she could tell him that she was a murderous freak who loved blood. Instead, she did what she always did. Lied. "My life is going okay, but my sister died not too long ago. And Brownie, too. I don't know if anyone told you yet." He stumbled a little and took a seat at the dining room table. She sat next to him. "What? I don't understand. How did she die?" "My mother died some months back." Farah was cold when she read off the details about her late mother. She couldn't care less about Brownie's cold bones or the life she led. But when she saw the hurt in his face, she tried to appear more compassionate. "You cared about her, didn't you? My mother." He looked behind him. She guessed for his girlfriend or wife. "I never stopped loving your mother. I just wasn't ready to be with her at the time. I was young. We both were. And we allowed people to shape how we felt." "What do you mean?" Farah replied. "I wanted to be with your mother, but she didn't trust me. Every day it was a fight. She fought with this person and that person until it was difficult even walking outside with her. Being with your mother meant being in fear for your life constantly. And me trying to defend her always turned into a black and white issue. It was just too much. Wait, I thought you didn't want to be with her because she had dark skin. His eyebrows rose. Who told you that? She remained silent. Farah, whoever told you that lied to you. I've given up everything for what I like, including my family members. They've proven themselves to be racist over and over again, even with my current wife. He shook his head. No, the reason I couldn't make it with your mother was because she loved violence, and she wasn't comfortable in her own skin. When he remembered he was talking to her daughter, he calmed down. I'm sorry I have to be so cold, but it's important that I put you on the truth. He touched her hand. But enough of that. Tell me what's going on in your life. I wasn't totally honest about myself. I'm not well at all. His eyes widened. What do you mean you're not well? I suffer from an illness. It's a very rare illness, but it ruined most of my life. He backed up. Please, tell me you don't have HIV. She shook her head. Oh, no, nothing like that. I just have some blood thing that doesn't allow me to make blood well on my own. Not only that, but I can't be around certain smells or certain perfumes or cosmetics. I can't even eat certain foods. This illness is draining. I see. I remember you always being sickly in middle school, but I never knew why. He looked her over again, and she wondered the meaning behind his stares. So what's the name of this illness? Porphyria. He frowned. I've never heard of it before. Most people have it. That doesn't stop it from ruining my life. I try to be strong because it seems that stress makes it worse. But I haven't been too successful. I can't imagine. Are you on medications? She thought about how she refused everything Dr. Martin had ever given her and lied again. Yes, I'm taking a few things. She paused. It's hard living my life and not being like other people. All my life, I've been an outcast, even in school. She started crying. Not having you in my life and as a support system really messed me up. And I guess I never knew that before now. She wiped her tears. Do you know how I felt when I learned that my coach was actually my father? Do you know how much that hurt my feelings? Even now it's hard to deal with when I look at you. He jumped up and held her in his arms. She smelled the cologne on his body, but it didn't bother her as much. For some reason, his embrace made her feel safe. Farah, I swear on everything I love, including my wife, that there won't be a thing you can do to get me out of your life. Me and my wife haven't been able to have kids, and it's something I always wanted. Of course, I want you. So where do we go from here? She asked honestly. Well, for starters, we can start building on our relationship, get to know each other, and things like that. With time, maybe you will start to look at me as your father. I'm willing to try if you are. But whatever you decide, there will be no pressure on my end. Just know that I'm here for you, no matter what you need. Daddy, she said in a low voice, actually, there is something I need you to do for me. If you can. Chapter 36, Farah. I don't know about you, but I could certainly use the company. Farah waited across from the mall at a coffee shop for her mark to complete the second part of her plan. She'd been watching him handle his employees, and it seemed like she'd been there forever, when in actuality, it had only been 30 minutes. When Jean Hershey finally walked out of the building, she checked her makeup in the mirror, smoothed the side of her red tight jeans, and strutted past him. If she still had it, he'd be under her spell in seconds, and banking on it. If it didn't work, she planned to play the "Don't I know you from somewhere?" routine. The moment she walked past him, just as she hoped, he was on her. "Damn, shorty, I haven't seen anything as fine as you in all my life." Farah hated corny niggas, but whatever, this was business, not pleasure. I hear you, but I wonder how much of what you saying is true. He scratched his peasy head. What that mean? A nigga as fine as you can get anybody you want, but I'm sure you know that already. He looked over the dirty movie theater uniform he donned. Although he was a manager, he failed miserably when it came to keeping his appearance up, and had been pulled in the office 10 times in the last 6 months for the same problem. Everything I say is true, and you're right. I can pick any bitch up I want. And luckily for yourself, I've chosen you. He licked his lips. My only reservation is that I hope you don't break my heart. Pretty girls like you always smash the pitcher. Oh. How she wished she could just dead his ass. He was laying it on too thick. I'm not a heartbreaker, for real. I was hoping to grab a few drinks. She stepped closer and fixed his wrinkled tie. I don't know about you, but I could certainly use the company. He put his arms around her waist and pulled her toward him like they were lovers. When he saw his male co-workers peeping the scene, he gripped both of her meaty-ass cheeks and squeezed. You ain't said nothing but a word. Where we going? To my place? It took everything in her power to hide her smile. An hour later, she was in his filthy apartment. Gene was on his third drink and could barely sit up straight on his sofa. His smile was overexposed, and he had zero control of his neck, because it rolled all over his shoulders. She laced his last drink, and she couldn't wait for him to pass out. She used the same drug on him that she used with her victims in the past, and it didn't take nearly as long. He seemed to have a stomach of steel. "Ready to take that nap, pretty lady?" he asked, kissing her neck. "I'm trying to see how soft them sugar walls really are." Her skin crawled, and she pushed him off in outrage. "I was kind of hoping we could drink some more before going to bed." She looked around his dirty living room. "You got roommates? Because I wouldn't want someone walking in on us." "I live alone, sweetheart." He placed his head in her lap. "So don't even worry about all that. Please, just go to fuck to sleep." "Ugh." "That's good to know, but you look so tired." He lifted his head, moved it toward her face, and sucked her bottom lip. "Baby, I can stay up for the next 5 hours," he boasted. "I drink my friends under the table, and I'm always the last one standing." Her lip smelled like pickles when he finished. "Prove it." She poured another cup of vodka, and when he closed his eyes for a second, she dropped 2 more pills in his drink. "Here you go." She handed it to him. "Toss it back." "I don't know if I can do another one right now." "Wait, you mean to tell me you lied that quick?" she joked. "You just said you can drink your friends under the table. I want to see you do it," she said, rubbing his dick, "because I always fuck better high." With that promise, he wasted no time throwing it back. It took less than 2 minutes for him to pass out. She waited 5 minutes before beginning the mission to find the tape he claimed was missing to the police. She figured there had to be a reason he was hiding the tape, and she was determined to find the reason. She went through room after room, and it was starting to look like she would never find what she was looking for. Luckily, she never gave up. "Where would you keep the tape?" she asked, huffing and puffing in the middle of the living room. "Think, creep. Think, creep. She checked every area of the house except the refrigerator. An hour later, she found what she was looking for in the vegetable drawer in the refrigerator. It was stuffed under some spoiled collard greens. "I got you," she said to herself. Quickly, she rushed to the DVD/VCR in the living room. Before placing it inside, she looked back at him. He was still asleep. She placed it in the player and fast-forwarded it in search of that certain thing. 30 minutes later, she saw her sister Chloe and Amika walking out of the movie theater together. Chloe looked so vibrant and so alive. She wept quietly. With everything going on in her life, she still didn't have a chance to grieve. Farrah also saw the reason he wanted to hide the tape, because there he was in a back office having sex with another man. Farrah had seen worse, so she wasn't interested in what he was doing. Although if he made any noise about the tape being missing, she had plans to blackmail him by telling him he was into men. She was just about to leave until she heard Gene say, "What you doing with that tape, bitch?" Ferris stood in Gene's living room with Mia and Shadow. They were staring down at Gene's lifeless body. The plan almost folded, but luckily they came through when she needed them. They were hiding outside of Gene's apartment door, ready to enter when Farrah gave the word. The plan Mia outlined entailed them coming into the house to check for the tape after he was passed out from the medicine. But Farrah got so caught up in what she was seeing on the tape that she forgot all about them. Had it not been for quick thinking on their part, she would have been dead. "Why would you look at the tape here?" Shadow asked, looking at the blood pouring from Jean's forehead, courtesy of the bullet he just fired into it. "We could have checked the shit out at home." "I'm sorry," she breathed heavily. "I saw Chloe and got lost. If y'all didn't kick that door in, I would have just thinking about her fate had her shaken. I don't know how to thank you." She looked down at him again. "I gave this nigga 3 pills and he still woke up." "Thank us later, for now we gotta get out of here," Mia said, "in case someone called the police." They were on their way out the door when Shadow said, "Oh, before I forget, that nigga Slade and Major were talking in the hallway on the way to Marquis's crib. I was behind them after getting off the elevator, and they didn't hear me. I'm not sure, but I think they planned to meet Eleanor in that building tomorrow." Farrah's heart rate sped up. "Are you sure?" "I wasn't exactly invited into the conversation, so I ear-hustled as best as I could. But yes, I'm pretty sure," Shadow clarified.
"Shit!"
Farrah yelled. She felt faint. "This is it. I'm over." "Don't worry. We still good." Mia placed her hand on her shoulder. "It's just time to activate part 3 of my plan a little earlier, that's all." Chapter 37, Randy. "In the past, I said it and had everything to lose. Now I have nothing." Since Willie regained control over his business, Randy was stuck with the money he provided to care for himself. He knew his father wasn't into good deeds, so he figured there was a reason for the arrangement. Although Willie never let him in on it. To make matters worse, with the exception of the vet, most of his men abandoned him because he was unable to pay them. Frustrated, he was preparing to take a shower when suddenly there was a knock at the door. He turned the water off to be sure he heard it correctly. When the knock grew louder, he grabbed his gun on the sink and moved cautiously toward the door. When he looked out of the peephole and saw Farrah, he thought he was seeing things. He snatched the door open. "What the fuck you doing at my house?" He looked behind her on the street. "And how did you know where I lived?" He walked into the house and she followed, closing the door behind her. "If you don't want me here, just kill me, Randy. I don't even care anymore. As a matter of fact, you'll be doing me a favor because my life is real fucked up right now." She walked closer to him. He turned around to look at her. "You're not answering my fucking question, bitch. I know you fucking with Slade, so what are you doing at my house?" "Randy, if you even thought I was still dealing with Slade, you would have shot me through the door." She looked around the living room. "Nice house. How did you come up on it?" "I inherited it," he said in a flat tone as he entered the kitchen. She sighed. "I was thinking about you the other day. The one thing I can say about us is we are unstable together, but worse apart." He looked behind her. "How do I know you don't have a rack of niggas outside my house right now?" "Because nobody knows where you live, Randy. How'd you find me?" "After my sister died, you called me on the phone and someone yelled in the background, 'Welcome to Serenity Meadows,'" she said, mocking Mrs. Tillman's voice. "So I had a few friends check on you, but you weren't there." She ran her hand over the marble countertop. "So we came back, hassled her a little more, and she gave up the address." He shook his head. "So that was you, huh?" He laughed to himself. "All this time I thought it was Slade. What did you have planned for me?" He grabbed the vodka from the freezer and one glass. "Nothing. I just wanted to say hello." She walked up to him and he stepped back. "You think you're smart, don't you?" He walked into the living room and she was on his heels. No, just cute, she laughed. What do you think about me? He sat on his couch. You got a lot of shit with you, Farrah. Luckily for you, tonight I'm in the mood for entertainment. He poured himself a glass of vodka. Farrah sat next to him and placed her purse on the floor. I miss you, Randy, a lot. He shook his head. If you coming over here for some money, you can forget about it. I'm not breaking you off anymore. He looked her over. Besides, dead bitches can't spend cash nohow. He swallowed his whole drink. You really are considering killing me, aren't you? She sat up straight. What do you want? He leaned back. I came here to apologize for everything I did to you. I was thinking we could put our heads together and maybe start all over again. Ha! He laughed in her face. You must really think I'm some gump-ass nigga, don't you? I may have hit hard times, but it doesn't mean I'm down and out. Before you get all out of hand, I'm not talking about being back in a relationship with you. I know what we had is done, and I'm okay with that. But I gotta be honest. Since I stopped fucking with you, I haven't been in the company of a real nigga, and I miss that. She saw his chest swell up a bit, and she loved it. Stroking his ego always did wonders. You must think I'm that type of nigga you can say anything to, and I believe you. Why you say that, Randy? She reached for the vodka bottle to pour herself a glass, and he slapped her hand. Because I know you fucking that dude Slade. That's why. She rubbed her hand and made herself a drink anyway. So wait, I tell you that I haven't been in the company of a real nigga and you talking about Slade? Mm-mm-mm. She shook her head. You think he's a realer nigga than you? He pointed at her. You pushing it, bitch. My limits with you are already extended. I'm not pushing shit, Randy. She sipped her vodka and set the glass down. When I said I haven't been in the company of a real nigga, that included Slade. That's why I'm here. I can't stay away from you no more. And you don't even fake like you don't miss me because I know you do. Well, maybe you should try. The way I feel these days, I'm liable to do anything to anybody. Randy, I'm serious. Just let me enjoy you for tonight. And if you still want to kill me afterward, you're welcome to it. I'm welcome to it, whether you want me to or not, Farrah. He was trying to play tough, but she had him right where she wanted him, in the palm of her hand. You just don't get it, do you? I don't care what you do to me. You're like my favorite drug. I just have to have you all the time. She smiled and massaged his leg. And I know I'm yours, too. You know, if I find out that you're here for anything other than dick, oof, I'm gonna hurt you really bad. You say that all the time. He separated from her. In the past, I said it and had everything to lose. Now, I have nothing. That makes me deadly. Randy, what can I do to gain your trust again? You really want to know? Yes. Tell me why you're really here. I got one better, she smiled, pulling him toward her. How about I tell you where you can find the Baker boys all at once? His eyes widened. You playing, right? Why would I play? I'm trying to prove to you where my mind is, and maybe if I do this, you'd believe me, and we can start all over. Why should I trust you? Because I got my own beef with Slade, and I want him squashed, and he's meeting with someone I can't have found. Is that good enough for you? Randy crawled into the building with five niggas by his side. Because he wasn't sure if the information was a setup, he had the vet and another goon waiting outside of the building. The men all agreed to help with the promise of being paid once he took down the Baker boys and reclaimed his drug operation. Randy was determined not to let the opportunity pass to rid the world of the Baker boys. Slade intruded in his life when it came to Farrah. And he intruded in his life when it came to his father. At first he thought Farrah was trying to set him up. After all, she was as sneaky a bitch as they came. She never did anything without having an angle for herself. So when she explained to him that they actually blamed her for Knox's disappearance, and because Willie confirmed it when he showed up at his house, he believed her. We have to split up to cover more ground, Randy told his cronies in a low whisper. As they stood in the stairwell, Search everywhere for them. They quietly followed his orders. After they split up, Randy opened the door leading to the fourth floor. He freed his weapon from his jeans and held it in his hands. He didn't want shit for Christmas but Slade's head on a pedestal. He passed the first door in the hallway and then the third. He knew they were somewhere in the building because Slade's truck was out front. From what Farrah told him, they were waiting for some bitch named Eleanor to show up. She didn't know the exact address, which was why he was led on a small goose chase. But Randy didn't care, just as long as, at the end of it all, he took him out. When he passed the fifth door, he heard a couple yelling loudly, "Where the fuck were you, Dave? I know you weren't over your mother's house like you said you were. I called. So just tell me the truth for once in your miserable life. I mean, it don't make no fucking sense." "Bitch, stop playing with me. I've been told you I had to visit my mother." "Well, why didn't she answer the fucking phone? Plus, I remember you telling me she had bingo on Sundays." "I don't feel like this shit. If you don't believe me, then that's on you." "Well, I don't believe you then," she yelled. "You can keep that fake shit for somebody else." Randy was so involved in the conversation that didn't have anything to do with him that he didn't hear the two niggas creeping behind him with 45s aimed at the back of his head. By the time he turned around, he was facing Slade, Killa, Major, Judge, Grant, and his father. They entered the hallway out of an apartment on that wing. To make matters worse, Farrah, Mia, and Shadow entered out of the apartment where the conversation took place. It was Mia's and Shadow's voices that held Randy's attention and caused him to drop his guard.
"So what about my men?" Randy asked his father. He knew what was about to happen before it was said. He was set up. The vet and Musty? Willie laughed at him. "I guess you did have two loyal men after all. Unlike the others, they wouldn't flip, so we had to kill them." Randy felt queasy as he stared at Farrah.
"I can't believe you did this to me."
"Yes, you do, Randy," she said coldly. "If you ask me, you wanted to die."
"I told you not to trust her," Willie added.
He looked at Farrah.
"No offense, beautiful."
She remained silent, although Shadow wanted to snatch his old face off. Randy could do nothing but laugh and shake his head. Once again, he'd fallen victim to Farrah and her scheming-ass ways. He faced Slade and said,
"I don't suppose there's anything I can say to convince you to let me live."
"Nigga, you killed my cousin and threw him outside the building like he was trash. Ain't shit I want to hear from you but the sound of blood gushing out your body."
Randy looked down at the floor and then at the bakers. All of them had guns aimed at him.
"Who set this up?"
He looked at Farrah. "Because I know she's not smart enough to come up with this."
The who's and the why's are not important anymore.
Willie Gregory stepped into the hallway and approached his only son. It was obvious, if it wasn't before, that he hated his only child.
"Dad, you doing me like this? I mean, I know we haven't had the best relationship, but I would have never thought you'd stoop so low."
Willie stepped closer. He wanted him to see that there was nothing he could say to get him to change his mind. He loathed him like a lifetime enemy. When he was close enough, he whispered so that only he could hear his voice.
"I told you to stay away. That's all you had to do. Instead, you let that bitch bring you out of your hole. What a fool."
Randy tried to stop the tears from pouring down.
"Can't do this. I know you can't." He beat his chest. "I'm your own blood."
"Then I guess you don't know me very well, do you?" With that, Willie raised his hand, and bullets flew into Randy's chest cavity and out of the flesh on his back.
"Wait!"
Slade yelled, but it was too late. Willie promised to give him to Slade so that he could avenge his cousin, but he had other plans.
"Sorry, Slade," Willie said. Looking back at him, "I got caught up in the moment."
With Randy's dead body at his feet, Willie walked up to him and spit in his face.
"Weak-ass nigga. Can't believe you was actually my son."
He laughed, looking at Slade.
"I guess it don't matter no more now, does it?"
He looked back at him. "What's done is done, and it suits me just fine."
"It may be done,
but it couldn't have come at a worse time. We were scheduled to meet someone here today, but Farrah called and told us Randy got information about it and decided to meet us here. He looked at her.